Well, the people who are here.
What?
Dedication.
Yeah, you got to let me start. Okay. So first of all, Josh, are you there? Is Josh Rocklin there? Well,
he's there.
Okay, so mazel tov to Josh on the birth of his new grandson. And Josh is dedicating this year in honor of his new grandson, in honor of Samuel and Samantha Rocklin's new baby boy. Mazel tov to Josh. Obviously, given the circumstances, we should also learn. Okay, given the circumstances, we should also learn for Refuah Shlema and Ilui Nishmas, those who lost their lives in Meiron. I had picked the topic of Kiddush Hashem beforehand, but obviously it takes on a different and a more significant meaning in light of what we're going through. I'll share one thought, just a simple thought. You know, when these things happen, so you always look to people for guidance and someone should help you figure out how to feel. Obviously, I'm not that person, but I know that we're supposed to feel as if these are people we know. The instinct is on the one hand to be happy that it's nobody you know, thank God. On the other hand, that weakens the immediacy we feel. And one of the minyanim here, somebody said afterwards, oh, you know, there's somebody from Teaneck who's missing. And I understand completely. Then somebody else said, no, he's been found. There's nothing to worry about. I understand the instinct is, you know, the closer we feel, the more it will affect us. But what I can say is that we ought to do our best to feel that it is people we know, that it is basar mibsareinu. There'll be plenty of time afterwards to figure out fault and all these things, but now we're just owning him. And I think to the extent possible, we ought to take it as personally as possible. Henry, I can't do it this way. Okay. Now I'm hearing Henry. Okay, what I could tell you is I don't know who it is. It's simply the case that whoever was in shul this morning announced that he's been found and he's fine. I don't know if it's true or not.
You hearing back now? What are you hearing?
Okay, good. All right, let's learn. Okay, so the pasuk in this week's parsha says as follows.
The pasuk in this week's parsha says as follows. Feedback.
Okay, can we shut off?
Yeah, you should be good now.
Okay, can you hear me now? Okay, now we're really ready to go. Can people hear me? Just wave if you can hear me through the computer.
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Here we go.
So, yes.
Shimmy, there are hundreds of people online. Okay. So the pasuk says as follows. V'lo sichalu es shem kachi v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael ani Hashem mekadishchem. That's the pasuk in this week's parsha. That is the makar for the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Let's start, as we always do at the beginning, and point out the following. None of us has the slightest idea what it means to be mekadish shem shamayim. And we have no idea what it means to be mechal al shem shamayim, for the simple reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so far above and beyond us, the idea that we could do something to sanctify the most, you know, holy thing, capital T, in the world, seems philosophically beyond us. But it happens to be that if you ask me, and since I'm the only one talking now, I don't see anything in the pasuk about sacrificing your life. Right? The pasuk says, "V'lo techalu et shem kachi," don't profane me in some way. "V'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael," I want to be sanctified amongst b'nei Yisrael. Again, I would have thought of 50 ways we could have sanctified God before I would have come up with this idea of, you know, sacrificing your life for Him. I understand that sacrificing your life for Him is a form of it, but just to start out, it wouldn't have been my first, you know, any of my top guesses. And yet, there it is in the Sifra, on source number 2. The Sifra, as we pointed out before, is Medrash Tanaim, So it's the equivalent of Mishnayos. It's a very significant halachic source, and the Sifra says it's a little hard. You know, Rashi on the pasuk quotes the Sifra. It's a little hard to read because Yomev v'nikdashti misor et atzmecha v'kadeshimi. Presumably that means, and it does mean, you know, give up your life and sanctify me. And then the Sifra says, Yachol b'yichidi, maybe by yourself, Tamud lomar b'toch b'nei Yisrael ha-mirubim. No, you should do it in front of many, many Jews, because that will sanctify God's name even more. Okay, so if we take one thing from the Sifra, it's that the Sifra saw sort of instinctively that Kiddush Hashem involves sacrificing our lives. Why the Sifra saw it or how the Sifra saw it, don't know. But that's there and that's the halacha and nobody's going to disagree with that. The problem is, it's inconsistent with an even more fundamental premise in halacha. And that is the primacy of human life. And once again, that's not some drasha, that's a pasuk. Source number 3, the pasuk says in Vayikra Yudches, Ushmartem es chukosai ve'es mishpatai asher ya'ase osam ha'adam v'chai bohem. Ani Hashem, the simple reading of the pasuk, and the drasha on the pasuk is both that the Torah is given v'chai bohem, to live by, to live through, and not as a source of something that would shorten our lives. You know, the direct limud has to do v'chai bohem v'lo shiyamos bohem in terms of Hilcha Shabbos, that pikuach Shabbos, pikuach nefesh, is docha Shabbos, but it's understood broadly and philosophically as the premise of a lot of our religion. We are not a religion that seeks out martyrdom. It's important to understand that there are religions where martyrdom is thought of as, you know, the ultimate goal. Through the ages, I think we've suffered from that terribly. That's not our goal. The goal of Yahadus is to live via halacha and to live via the Torah and to find meaning in it and to live healthily. That's just the premise. Now again, as we'll see, there are exceptions to the rule. But here you have, you know, the obvious clash. V'chai bohem, you should live by them. Make a kiddush Hashem, you should be moser nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Those two things are fundamentally inconsistent. The main source in Gemara is Sanhedrin Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph in source number 4, where the Gemara says as follows: V'chai bohem, Tanya, Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon Ben Yehud Tzadok, Nimnu V'gamru Ba'aliyas Beis Nitza Belod. Literally, they got together. There was like a meeting of the rabbinic council, you know, in an attic in a house called Nitza in the city of Lod. And they decided as follows: Kol averos sheba Torah chutz me'avodas kocham v'gilu arayos u'shvichas damim im omrim la'adam avor v'al tehareg ya'avor v'al yehareg. And it's not exactly the quote. Look more, but this is how it reads. My time of the reason is v'chai bohem v'lo sheyamos bohem. So it's interesting, even in this formulation of the Gemara, the formulation is, we are not supposed to give up our lives. We are supposed to live a full life via Torah, right? And if somebody comes and says, do this Avera or I'm going to kill you, the answer is, you should do the Avera. That's the rule. It happens to be that there are 3 exceptions to that rule, and those are Gilu Arayos, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah. But the rule is, no, we're supposed to live our lives and we're supposed to violate the Torah to save our lives. Okay? Now, you have to add, it's funny that that got flipped around. It doesn't read like a mitzvah satorah here. Right?
Are you presenting it, sir?
I'm sorry, whoever asked that, I couldn't hear. Okay, let's assume not. It doesn't read as if, okay, there's a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, and here's how it works. It reads like, no, the premise is v'chai bohem. Happens to be, there's an exception in 3 cases. That would be supported by the idea, and we'll see this discussion in a second, there's a big machlokas in Achronim, what's special about the 3 averos. Right? One approach is, The three Averos are the three worst Averos in the world, and therefore, because they're the three worst Averos, you have to give up your life. The other is, no, there's a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem that applies to these three Averos. We'll play it through in a second. But before we do that, I just want to point out, because I find this fascinating, and I find it fascinating despite the fact that I don't know the answer. It's not that often in the Gemara that they give you the historical context for a decision, and especially a decision as important as this. Right here, the Gemara says, they got together in Lod, in this person's attic, and they decided the halacha. I can tell you that it's not, you know, a lot of people think this is around the time of the Bar Kokhba revolt, but there doesn't seem to be any real support for anybody knowing. The more interesting question is, what was the halacha before? Meaning, you know, you're passed by a sheni already. They've been Jews for a long, long time, right? Now they get together and they decide now that in all situations, when you're threatened with martyrdom, you should violate halacha, except for these three. This is a big discussion. Okay, what was the case before? Was it the case that everybody had been moser nefesh for everything? And now Chachamim get together and say, no, that doesn't work. V'chai bohem v'lo sheyamus bohem. Or was it the case that nobody had been moser nefesh for anything, and now they got together and said, listen, it can't be that we'll be over every aveir. There has to be a line that we won't cross. There's a third option, which I'm not a fan. It seems unlikely to me. The third option is they were doing exactly this, but it had never been established as the halacha. I find that hard to imagine, but it's possible that that's the case also. Okay, so that raises all kinds of historical questions, and there's tons of people who have written on this during Bayesheni, what they gave up their lives for. And, okay, but what's clear is that this became the halacha, right? They got together, they made a decision, and that absolutely became the halacha. Okay, let's go on. How does the Rambam quote this? So the Rambam quotes it in the ninth mitzvah in his Sefer HaMitzvot. Just as an aside, we've mentioned this before, the order of the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvot is unclear to anybody. It's clear that it's done thematically, and the Rambam gets onto a theme, and that becomes the next 10 mitzvot, the next 15 mitzvot. But why he established that particular order, nobody knows, and certainly nobody thinks it's the case that mitzvah number 22 is more important than mitzvah number 222. That's just the order. Except, it's hard to miss the fact that the first handful, the first 10 at least, maybe 15, seem to be, you know, belief in God and Kriya Shema and love of God and fear of God. They all come first. And they're not necessarily, you could make an argument that they're necessarily connected thematically, but I'm not so sure. I think it really is the case that the first bunch in the Rambam, including number 9, Kiddush Hashem, the Rambam sees as being foundational to the religion. Okay, here's the Rambam. Source number 5. V'hamitzvah tishiit hishetzivanu lekadesh Hashem. V'hu amaro v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. Okay, so the Rambam sees it in the most positive terms. The pasuk in our parasha says, v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. You have to sanctify God. What does that mean? So he tells us, "V'inyan zot haMitzvah asher anachnu mitzuvim lefarseim haEmuna hazot haAmiti baOlam." This, not that the Rambam needs my support, this seems really nice. What does it mean to make a Kiddush Hashem? It means to publicize the one true religion and the one true God in this world. To make the one true God more present in the world. And then he says, V'shalo nefachei behazeg shum mazik. I suppose part of it is, if you really believe in something and you're committed to it, so you're willing to take a certain risk because of your commitment. And so therefore he says, you know, we shouldn't be afraid of any punishment or any pain that would be associated with our belief in God. Yeah, I have an idea. But let's...
That's also not our bag.
I think it is our bag. The question Shimmy's asking for those online was, what does it mean, lefarsem? I, I plan to come back to that because I have ideas. Third line. Va'af al pi shebo aleinu machriach gover yivakesh mimenu lichpor bo yitaleh. Now the Rambam gets to, I guess, the narrow halacha. And even if somebody comes to us and asks us to deny God's existence, lo nishma mimenu, aval nimsor atzmeinu lemita, v'lo nita'eyu lachshov shekofarnu. Okay, the Rambam says, if you are challenged on the fundamental belief of God, you have to be willing to give up your life, and you're not even allowed to pretend that you believe, you know, I don't know, in Jesus or Muhammad or whatever, even though in your heart you think you don't. No, you have to stand up and say, I'm willing to give up my life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, here you see the Kiddush Hashem aspect, because it's not the answer to Shimi's question, but it's part of it. You say, listen, what's the difference if I go and I announce that I believe in the Trinity or whatever it is, right? I know I don't. I know that I'm lying. I know the whole thing's a joke. No, but there's an aspect of how other people see it. And if other people would, God forbid, see it as a genuine acknowledgement, I think the Rambam would say, that's a chilul Hashem. Because at this moment, people are going, you see, this Jew now recognizes the you know, the mistake of his ways. Yeah?
The first case would be Moshe and Yosef. Moshe claims Moshe, so like,
I don't know.
No?
That's very advanced. It's relevant all the time. Let's go. Okay. Vizoti, fourth line from the end. Beginning of the line. Vizoti mitzvat kiddush Hashem, says the Rambam, this is the mitzvah of kiddush Hashem, ha-mitzuvim ba b'nei Yisrael b'chlalam. And now he kind of backtracks, and he says, what is that mitzvah? Rotzeh lomar, misirat nafshenu lamut b'yad ha-ones, al ahavato yitbarach ve'emunat yichudo. So at the beginning, the Rambam seems to say Kiddush Hashem is publicizing God's name in the world. But at the end, the Rambam says the narrow definition of the mitzvah is being willing to give up your life. For what purpose? The bolded words, al ahavato yitbarach, on our love for God, ve'emunat yichudo, and our belief in the uniqueness of God. Okay? And then he quotes Hanani Mishael Vazaya, the most famous people who are willing to do that. So that's the Rambam's mitzvah. That's the Rambam's
mitzvah. Maybe one is the ideal, and one is when push comes to shove, is unfortunately the reality.
It could very well be. It could very well be that there's all these ways of theoretically doing it. I'll make this point now. I was going to save it for later, but I'll make this point now. It could be that in this analysis, it's very similar to a group of mitzvahs, let's say like the mitzvah of tzedakah. What do I mean? It could be that in the normal day, you have opportunities to make a Kiddush Hashem of the type the Rambam sort of described at the beginning. That when people see how you behave, they say, I want to be like this person. Wow, Orthodox Jews are such fine people, right? And it actually makes God more present to a certain extent. Okay? But that's an option. You could probably go through days in which nothing like that happens. You don't do anything that's a chilul Hashem. You don't do anything as a kiddush Hashem. But when somebody shows up and puts a gun to your head, at that moment, it's a binary decision. If I sacrifice my life, I've been mekadesh shem shamayim. If I don't, I've been mechalel shem shamayim. So it could be that the Rambam's describing narrowly at the moment in time where you have no choice. In a normal day, you sit in your house. Okay, nobody knocks on your door and asks for tzedakah. So you didn't get the mitzvah of tzedakah, but you didn't violate the mitzvah of tzedakah. Right? Then somebody knocks on your door. One second. And he tells you, I need $10, to buy dinner for my kids. You have $10 in your pocket. You believe him completely. You don't need your $10. At that moment, if you don't give him the $10, you've been mevatel the mitzvah saseh of tzedakah.
No one sees it. It's a...
Okay, so we have to get to that point. What does it mean to make a kiddush Hashem or a chilul Hashem that nobody sees? Okay, I do want to come to that in a second. But let's just... So in the Rambam, at least, the mitzvah of kiddush Hashem, narrowly defined, is giving up your life for the three Averos. The Smak, and it's more famously known as the Ramban, I just the Ramban is in a place that didn't have it on the Bar Ilan. So the Sefer Mitzvah's cut on the number 6 says as follows. The mitzvah is l'kadesh Hashem d'chsiv v'niktashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. Good. So far, so good. Zoha mitzvah eina min hashalosh sheyehareg va'al ya'avor kemo avodat kochavim gilu arad shvichut amim. De'ba'otan shlosha afilu bitzina de'lo shayach ba kedushas Hashem yehareg va'al ya'avor. That was Henry's question just now. Says the smack, Kiddush Hashem has nothing to do with the big three. The big three, there's something unique about those three Averas. People call it the Chumras HaAvera. Basically says, you cannot violate these big three. Nothing to do with Kiddush Hashem. The smack says, how do I know? Because the big three, even if it's just you and the guy, you are obligated to give up your life. In front of who are you making a Kiddush Hashem? Says the smack, it has nothing to do with Kiddush Hashem. The big three are such terrible averos that you have no choice. The din within Shvichus Damim, Gilui Aryeis, and Avodah Zarah is that these three things are so terrible that on their own merit, having nothing to do with the din of Kiddush Hashem, you are prohibited from violating them no matter what the circumstances.
Are those three that Kodesh Baruch says will throw us out of Eretz Yisrael?
No. No. It had nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. It is true that Aryeis is a big one. But I don't think that... Well, I guess Avodah Zarah also. Shvichus Damim, I don't think.
Sinner means privately. So you're bringing in a goy, there's no more privacy. So violating these big three means that when you're alone...
You always need somebody else. Somebody has to put a gun to your head. Otherwise, what's the Yehareg Val Yavor?
You choose to, God forbid, start worshipping Jesus of Ireland.
Excellent. I don't mean excellent. I don't think that's a good idea. But so what about it? So what's the hechi timtza that you're going to give up your life? So you have some insane guy. You watch too many movies. You have some insane guy, and he says my yetzahar to worship Avodah Zarah is so great. I'm going to kill myself.
Okay.
Fine. Good when it works out, and I'm right. Aval hacha mayri bishara mitzvah says the smack here. We're not talking about the big three. Now, this is a big deal because it's changing things. The smack says the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem is not the big three. V'hani mili bitzina deleka kedushas Hashem aval befar hestia kigam b'fnei asara Yisrael yehareg v'al yavor. Says the smack, there's a whole bunch of other mitzvos that might be yehareg v'al yavor in a certain circumstance. Okay, so right now we have a machlokas, the Rambam, and the smack. The Rambam says the big three are Kiddush Hashem, therefore they harg val yavar. The smack says the big three are so terrible that you have to give up your life for them, unrelated to Kiddush Hashem. And then you should know there's a whole other category of averos for which you may have to give up your life al Kiddush Hashem based on the circumstances. Now it turns out that more or less lahalacha, the Rambam agrees with the smack. Philosophically, the Rambam thinks the big three are part of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. The smack thinks they're not. But as we'll look at, and when it's worth reading, because it's a really clear description of the mitzvah, the Rambam in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah describes really clearly his view of the halachic definition of Kiddush Hashem, and it's worth working through. So let's go. Source number 7. This is the Rambam in Perakei Halacha Aleph of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. Says the Rambam, Kol Beis Yisrael mitzuvin al kiddush Hashem hagadol hazeh shenema v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. Okay, no description. This is like the Rambam at the beginning of the Sefer HaMitzvos. There is a beautiful mitzvah, and people talk about Kol Beis Yisrael. It's rare for the Rambam to describe it that way, as some kind of communal, obligation. It's clear that the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem applies to men and women. Some people want to claim that somehow the Rambam may be hinting that it might apply to Ketanim. Right? What's the language? Kol Beis Yisrael, all Jews. I don't know. I know that, for us, just to point out the obvious, for us, happily, mostly this is theoretical. I think if you lived in the Middle Ages, it wasn't theoretical. Okay? So just, we'll leave that out there. Kol Beis Yisrael, mitzvin al kiddush Hashem ha-gadol, azeh, shema v'kdi ha-shti b'tzol p'nei Yisrael. Umuzharin shelo lechalalo, shenemar velo techalu at shem kachi. Ketza. How does it work? Says the Rambam. Kishiyamod oved kol chavim v'yeenos et Yisrael la'avor lachat mikol mitzvot ha'amurot b'Torah. O yahargenu. When a guy shows up and puts a gun to your head and says, eat basar b'cholav, or I'm going to kill you, says the Rambam, there's the rule. Ya'avor va'al yehareg. Happy eating. Shenemar b'mitzvot ashe ya'aseh otam ha'adam v'chai bohem. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. V'chai bohem v'lo sheyamut bohem. V'imeis v'lo avar hareze mischayev b'nafsho. That qualifies as like humor, I think. Okay? The Rambam says that somebody puts a gun to your head and says, eat this cheeseburger, I'm going to kill you. You have to eat the cheeseburger. And if you say, never, you know, kill me, I'm not going to eat the cheeseburger, and he kills you, hareze mischayev b'nafsho. It's as if he's, right, so obviously he's dead already. But I think the Rambam is emphasizing what a bad decision that was. Mischayev b'nafsho, I think he's saying, like, you threw away your life for no reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want you to sacrifice your life over a cheeseburger. Okay? That's a famous formulation. Now, say again?
Could that be Mishchayev B'Nafsho in Olam Hazeh and in Olam Haba?
Yeah, it certainly could be. But I just think it's a loaded term. To say that somebody died unnecessarily is Mishchayev B'Nafsho. You're right. He could be hinting at, you know, Olam Haba, but, you know, those things are generally called kares. I'm just pointing out that it's a loaded term. What we do with it is up to us. Okay, halacha bet. Bamed divarim amurim. What is the case in which you're supposed to violate the Torah and not give up your life? Bishaar mitzvot chutz me'avodat kochavim v'gil ha'aras v'shvichos damim. Except for the big three. Aval shalosh averos elu. Im yomar lo avor al achas mehem otei hareg, yei hareg va'al ya'avor. Okay, says the Rambam, but with respect to these three averos, if the guy tells you to violate them or be killed, says the Rambam, you have to be killed. Okay, now, the Rambam is about to insert a major qualification. Right now, there are three mitzvos for which you have to give up your life and none others. But says the Rambam, here it comes. That's only the din when a guy is trying to get you to do averos lahana'at atzmo. When a guy says to you, you know, paint my house on Shabbos, because he really wants his house painted on Shabbos. So now you're violating Shabbos. Says the Ram, that's okay, you could do it. Aval im niskavein lahaviro al hamitzvot bilvad. If the guy is trying to get you to sin, not because there's a benefit to the guy, but really because your sin would be a statement that I'm rejecting God, then the Rambam says that's also going to turn into Yahar Val Yavar, dependent. Here it comes. Im haya beino levein atzmo. If it's just you and the guy, ve'ein sham asara b'Yisrael, and there's not 10 Jews there, then ya'avor va'al yehareg. Then the din is, as we've discussed till now, eat the cheeseburger, paint the house on Shabbos, and do not allow yourself to be killed. However, vim anaso l'ha'aviro ba'asara mi'Yisrael, but if he's doing it in front of 10 Jews, yehareg va'al ya'avor. Then you have to give up your life. Va'afilu lo nitkaven l'ha'aviro ela al mitzvah mishar mitzvot bilvad. And that's the case even if he's trying to get you to violate some mitzvah unrelated to the big three. Let's say he's trying to get you to eat a cheeseburger. So if for whatever bizarre reason he wants you to eat a cheeseburger because he wants you to acknowledge that cheeseburgers are delicious, the Rambam would say you could do it. But if he wants you to do it because he knows that it's an Isser D'Oraisa, then my understanding of the Rambam is that turns into one of the big three. Right? Because the big, you know, one of the big three is rejecting the existence of God, rejecting the uniqueness of God, rejecting the fact that God created the world. So if in that moment, whatever the Aveira is, if that Aveira turns into a rejection of God, and you're doing it in front of 10 Jews, then the Rambam says, the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, of sacrificing life, expands beyond the big three to cover any other aveira if it's being done in public for the purpose of showing that you reject HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, it's as if any other aveira under the worst circumstances gets promoted to be one of the big three.
What?
Ah, so clearly the Rambam is saying that the din of Kiddush Hashem Barabim is in front of 10 Jews. So if it's in private, you can always violate other than the big three, even if the guy's trying to get you to prove that God doesn't exist. But if it's in front of 10 Jews, it becomes Kiddush Hashem Barabim, and or Chil Hashem Barabim, and therefore it's not permissible. Now, the question of, you know, like I would have thought, to be perfectly honest, you'd be better off in front of 10 goyim. Right? The 10 Jews already know you believe in God, and they believe in God. But that's the din, and in fact, that is the din. Yes?
Even though your intent doesn't change, you're saying it depends on the perception.
That's exactly the point. If you do it in front of 10 other people, and the understanding would be, I suppose, you know, that you're doing this because you're rejecting God, then the Rambam says that becomes the din of Yehar Gval Yavor.
But in front of 10 Jews, they don't know they're trying to
go. Who knows?
Right.
Who knows? It could be that at some point, let's put it this way. I assume that if you watch the person do it, okay, the person is frum. You know he's frum. There are plenty of frum people, sadly, probably me, you know, who would find it hard to give up his life. Right? If you're there and you watch a person give up his life over a cheeseburger because there are 10 Jews watching, that's a kid, you know, we would be moved. It's as if reading a story of heroism, a person who risked his life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no question, the 10 people who left that room having witnessed it would be changed forever. I think it's not as simple as you believe in God, you don't believe in God. When a person gives up his life for a cause, right, when you see a person give up his life willingly for a cause, you're impacted by it. It's not just some binary thing. I believe in God, I don't believe in God.
There's all the righteous in front of 10 people.
Yeah, if he's being ma'avriyu al adas and there are 10 Jews there, the Rambam would say yes. Okay. Now, the Rambam adds another thing. Halacha gimel. This is important. V'chol hadvarim ha'elu shelo bishas ha'gzeira. Generally speaking, everything I've said till now is when it's not a shas hashmad. Aval bishas ha'gzeira, when it is a shas hashmad, what's that? V'hu she'ya'amod melech roshokin v'uchanetzer v'chaverav v'yigzor gzeira al Yisrael v'atel datamet mitzvot al mitzvot. Right, when somebody's trying to uproot Judaism, then as we know, yehareg v'al yavar afilu al achat misha mitzvot Bein ne'enas b'toch asara, bein ne'enas b'no levein ovdei kochavim. In the Shas Hashmad, even if it's not Barabim, in the Shas Hashmad, you have to give up your life over every mitzvah. And the pshat almost certainly is the following. In the Shas Hashmad, when there's a religious war going on, and the guy is trying to get you to give up your religion, then everything, whether in front of 10 Jews or not, becomes the big three, right? The big three on their own represent a war over the existence of God, either because they're so important or because they were so designated. But when there is an actual war over the existence of God going on, then every aveira becomes a din of Yehar Gval Yavor. Okay?
Private or public?
Huh?
Even in private.
Even in private, right. A shocking halacha. Okay. Now, very last halacha on the Rambam. The Rambam here, you see, is not... The Rambam here, you see, is not trying to expand... Could you answer? Because in case it's an emergency. Is not trying to expand Kiddush Hashem, and he says something very clear. Halacha dalet. Kol mi shenema bo ya'avor va'al yehareg v'neherag v'lo avar, hareze mitchayev v'nafsho. Says the Rambam, we're not looking for machmirim in the din of Kiddush Hashem. If you give up your life when you may not have had to, he says, you're mischayev b'nafsho. Similarly, v'chol mishenem abo yehareg v'al yavor v'neherag v'lo avah harezeh kidei shesh Hashem. But if you do give up your life when and as required by halacha, that is a kiddush Hashem. And here you see the Ram says something interesting. That's a kiddush Hashem. Vim hayaba asaram Yisrael, hareze kideshet Hashem barabim. So there's a regular kiddush Hashem, and if it's in front of 10 Jews, there's an added bonus of kiddush Hashem barabim. Okay, and he says that's what Daniel and Hanan, Mishael, Azai, and Rabbi Akiva all did. Okay, and then the reverse is also true. Now the Rambam points out something interesting. We'll read it quickly inside. Go to the last two lines, in the middle there. Va'afal pikein. No, yeah. Mipnei, let's say somebody puts a gun to your head and tells you to worship Avodah Zarah. And God forbid you do. Okay? So you made a chilul Hashem. That's the din. That's very bad. You were supposed to sacrifice your life and you didn't. But now the Rambam points out the obvious. Let's say you did it. Va'afal pikein. Mipnei she'avar ba'ones ein malkin oto ve'ein tzarich lomar she'ein memitin oto beitin va'afilu harag ba'ones she'ein malkin u'memitin ela la'over biritzono u'be'edim v'hatra'a. Explanation. You didn't really worship Avodah Zarah. You're not chayev misa. Somebody puts a gun to your head and says, worship Avodah Zarah, I'm going to kill you. So you're supposed to give up your life. But says the Rambam, if you didn't, God forbid, you're not chayiv misa, you're not chayiv makos, you're not chayiv anything. Why not? It's an ones. A guy put a gun to your head, right? It's not chilul Shabbos, it's not any of these averos. Somebody put a gun to your head. So the Rambam says, yes, kiddush Hashem and chilul Hashem exist on some higher plane and they really matter. But don't think for a second that if you are in mekadesh shem shamayim and or you are mechal shem shamayim by violating the avera, you're not punished for it, because the Torah understands, right? A person put a gun to your head, that's a classic ones. It's not even a show gig. You were forced into it. Yes, we ask of you some superhuman effort to give up your life. And if you do it, it's life-altering for anybody who saw it or anybody who reads about it. But if you don't, you're not going to even get makos, because it's a classic ones. Again, I think the Rambam wants you to, he expects you to, and if you don't, it's a chilul Hashem. But it's a chilul Hashem ba'ones. In the end, you know, you were forced into it, and I think, you know, that's an important gloss on everything we've discussed. Because in the end, yes, you were supposed to do it, but no Bezdin in the world would punish a person who, you know, at the risk of his life, violated the Torah, even if the din was he was supposed to. I really think that this puts sort of everything the Rambam said into perspective. Okay.
If you look at the contrast, on one thing they get together and say, Yarok lo Yavor, and then at the end of the spectrum, Rambam saying, you're not even getting Malchus.
Yeah, but that's the wrong way to look at it. I'm picking a lost opportunity is a better way to say it. I think this puts it all into context, right? In an aspirate, you know, we aspire to make a kiddush Hashem, and we're terrified of making a chilul Hashem. But halacha is halacha, and human beings are human beings. And I think the Rambam would be very disappointed in you. But it's an ones. You know, what do you? We have to put these things into context. Again, I would like to believe. I speak for myself. I'd like to believe in this situation, I would do it. I have no confidence in myself that I would. And you know, when then you come back to shul and all the smart alecks don't want to give you an aliyah, it's a tough situation. Thank God that, you know, none of us have faced it, and God willing, none of us ever will. Now, let's go back to the point we started off with, and that is sort of the thought process behind all of this. And what does it mean to make a kiddush Hashem, and what does it mean to make a chilul Hashem? So, one idea to start. The Gemara in Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph in Sanhedrin, which we saw already, it's a longer Gemara and has descriptions or rationales for why each of the big three are Yeharig Val Yavar. But there is an idea sitting in the first one, in source number 8, that I think it's worth focusing on. The Gemara says as follows, Titania, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, the Pasuk says, V'yohavta Hashem Elokecha, b'chol levo, v'chol, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol miyodecha. Im no mar bechol nafshecha, lama nemar bechol meodecha. If it says you have to give up your body, I guess your soul, why all your money? Im no mar bechol meodecha, lama nemar bechol nafshecha. Says the Gemara, "Yesh lecha adam shegufo chaviv alav mimamono." Right, he would give you all the money in the world, but he would never die for it. Lekach ne'amar b'chol nafshecha. V'im yesh lecha adam shemimono chaviv alav migufo. There's a person who cares more about his money than his life. Lekach ne'amar b'chol meodecha. But here, the deeper idea sitting right here is that giving up your life is a form of expression of v'yohavta Hashem Elokecha. Now, what does that mean? So, nobody aspires, again, no Jewish person in his right mind aspires to give up his life. Right? That's how we're different from other religions. There's nobody who thinks that that's the right approach. Right? I think we would all say, if you ask us the question, you know, would you give up your life, you know, to save your wife, your spouse? Would you give your life to save your kids? So we would all like to say, and I think more likely than a Kadosh Baruch Hu example, we'd say yes, right? Now, nobody aspires to do it, God forbid. But we would all say yes, and we all believe it when we say it. I think part of the rationale behind, generally speaking, we say v'chai bohem v'lo sheyamos bohem, right? The foundational principle of Judaism is it's a way to protect life and to enhance life and not to sacrifice it. But at least in theory, there has to be something that you would be willing, there has to be something that's so terrible that you would sacrifice your life over, and that thing proves your love of God. I love God, I love God, I love God. Would you ever give up your life for God? No. It undermines the statement that I love God. And so I think on some level, it's more theoretical than practical. The halacha says there has to be a situation in which you are obligated and you would give up your life for God. And the fact that that exists expresses or serves as proof of the fact that we genuinely love God. But just like we don't want it in our own lives, right? Nobody wants to give up his life for his child or for his spouse. You know, you would do it, but no one aspires to it. I think on some level in the world that we live in, the narrow form of Kiddush Hashem as expressed by giving up your life is theoretical. I don't mean it doesn't apply halacha l'maisa, but I'm saying for most of us, for 99% of us, we want it to be theoretical. But it could be, it's supposed to be something we think about. It could be that Kiddush Hashem is the expression of our commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though we never want to do it and we hope to never do it, just like we hope to never do it in our lives. You know, I once saw a thing on Secret Service people. Right? They're supposed to, you know, commit that they would give up their lives, you know, for the president, for the prime minister, whoever it is. And obviously, to do your job, you have to do it. I can't imagine every day you go to work hoping that you give up your life that day. Right? But it's a statement. When you meet somebody who you believe would really give up his life for something, for some cause, for some purpose, there's no greater expression of how committed that person is. Now I'm going to get myself into trouble, but it's not something to be machmir in. Right? We saw a halacha, I'll just say it straight out, we saw a halacha that bishas hashmad, you know, you have to give up your life over everything. We have to make a decision about what's a shas hashmad and what's not. You know, a few days ago in Israel, some idiot put out a poster with respect to Meiron. Apparently, the government had said, you're not supposed to eat inside the tzion of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. It's very crowded, it's corona, whatever. Shas hashmad. So the government says, shmad on us, they're not letting us eat, that's the minhag. So idiot, right? What's the result of that? The din then becomes Yahar Gval Yavar. So on the one hand, who wants to be the kind of person who turns everything into Yahar Gval Yavar? It's clear that's not Jewish. That's not halachic. There's no justification for that. On the other hand, who wants to live in a group of people for which nobody or nothing is Yahar Gval Yavar? Right? It's that balance that's going to be the answer to this question. If we can't find something that's Yahar Gval Yavar, there's something wrong with our commitment. But to live in a world where everything is Yahar Gval Yavar is insane. That's not a value that we have. That's not a value of Yadus. So I think, you know, without talking about current events too much, that's something to keep in mind. And I want to make one last point. And here I think this is really, really significant and puts things in perspective. Even though at first it's going to sound like kfira, I think it's true. I think the Rav said it. I think Rav Lichtenstein said it. I think many of my Rebbeim have said it and thought it. And once you look at it, it seems pretty almost obvious. And that's the following. We started with the question of, what does it mean, or how could it be that we could make a Kiddush Hashem in the sense that we could sanctify God? How could we sanctify God? How could we profane God? HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists separate and apart and on a level that nobody could touch. What does it mean that we could impact God? And the answer is, we can. Literally so. Okay, two really quick examples that are Ramban's. Look at source number 9. Right there, the pasuk says, "Hashem ha'marta yom liyoschol le'elokim lo'leches b'yirochav lishmochu kav misotav v'shpatav lishmoa b'kolo." God chose you. We chose God. There's something going on there, and the Ramban says in 9, the second paragraph, what does it mean? "Es Hashem ha'marta hayom," God, you identified or made unique this day. "Kevon shekibalta malechem kol haTorah b'peirushah b'tikdukah v'chidushah." Once we, the Jewish people, accepted God, hine gadaltem Hashem v'romamtem oto. I think the Ramban understands it literally. You have raised God up. You have made God greater. Now again, that seems against the rules. We can't do that to God. One more. Why do we wear tefillin? Says the pasuk in 10, V'haya la'ot al yadcha lo tatavot beininecha, it'll be a sign that God took us out of Mitzrayim. Right? Here's the Ramban, and a long Ramban, but it's one of the most famous ones. The Ramban says, V'kavanat kol ha-mitzvot, the purpose for every single mitzvah, shena'amin be'elokeinu v'nodeh elav shehu bera'anu, that we should acknowledge that we believe in God and that He created us. V'hi kavanat ha-yitzira, says the Ramban dangerously, this is why God created the world. She'ein lanu ta'am acher b'yitzira harishona, because there is no other reason for creation. Ve'ein keil elyon chafetz b'tachtonim, and God has no interest in us, we who live below. Milvad she'yeda ha'adam v'yode le'lokav she'bira'o, other than that we should know and acknowledge that God created us. What's going on here? The answer is as follows. God, of course, could be as present as He wants in this world if He chooses to be. But God created a world in which He restricts Himself. For whatever reason, I certainly don't know, God has decided to have a world in which you could live and don't have to acknowledge Him, and don't have to respect Him, and you can be an atheist, and you can be in another religion. There's nothing in this world that forces us to acknowledge God. In fact, the Gemara says, "Hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyiras shamayim." Everything is under the control of heaven except belief and fear of God. Well, of course, God, if God appeared, we would fear Him. It's as simple as that. For whatever reason, God restricted Himself in this world. And then He asked us, for whatever reason, to make Him more present. To behave in a way that if a person looks at you, this is the answer to Shimi's question, I think. What's a Kiddush Hashem? You have a job, and a person looks at you and knows that you're a God-fearing person and says, you know what, I want to be more like Him. His God must be so great because look at how they behave. How we behave determines whether God is more or less present in this world. Rav Amital Zatzal used to say the Holocaust was a Chilul Hashem. What does it mean it was a Chilul Hashem? It means nobody respected the God of the Jews during the Holocaust. Okay? The state of Israel was a Kiddush Hashem. Why? Because people started respecting the God of the Jews again. It's up to us. God's presence in the world is dependent on us. And the more we do things that raise God's reputation, so to speak, higher in the world, we are literally making Him more present. And the reverse is the reverse. Achil Hashem, who wants to be a Jew, who wants to do anything? So, silly example. You're walking on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan. You're wearing a yarmulke. Old Chinese lady is crossing the street. She's about to get pancaked by a truck. You run out and save her life. In that moment, everybody who sees you with the yarmulke on says, these Jews, they're really something. Right? Every time the state of Israel does something wonderful and people have to secretly acknowledge that the Jews are wonderful, they are secretly acknowledging that the God of the Jews is wonderful. And every time we do the reverse, it's a nightmare and it's a disaster. And it's a chil Hashem because literally, God becomes less present in the world. I think in the end that it's as simple as that. It's expressed through the big three. It's expressed through giving up life. But theoretically, that's not what you want. What you want is to live a life for whatever reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, my presence in the world is dependent on you. Do things that make people admire me. I am more present. The reverse, God forbid, is the reverse. We should all be zoche to be on the team of making God more present. Shkaf to everybody. Bye, everybody.